You know, Emily did a great job a while ago taking care of our children and talking about Solomon. You know, she did such a good job talking about wisdom that, you know, I could just turn you loose and let you go ahead and go to lunch early this day today because she covered all the good stuff. But I'm not. But you did a great job. Thank you so much for that. Because the truth is, if there was ever someone who was in over his head, this was the man. I want you to think about who he was. He was only the third ruler his people had ever known. Of the two who had come before him, the first was a miserable failure. The second had been wildly successful, turning a scattered people into a united kingdom. One had been the worst. One had been the best. And now it was his turn to lead his people. As he assumed the ruler's role, he was also far too aware that there were too many people around who expected him to fail. They thought he was too young, too inexperienced, too unprepared, too unqualified. There were some who were actively committed to his failure. After all, he had not been his choice of someone to lead, and nothing would give them more pleasure than to see him fall on his face and be replaced by the one that they thought should have been chosen to begin with. He himself was not so sure that the job might be too big for him to handle. The truth was, as he began to ascend the throne, there was something inside of him that thought, this job is way too big for me. I don't even know how to lead these people. I'm not sure what to do. He was so uncertain about what would happen next. Have you ever found yourself in that position? You've earned a promotion. You've gotten a starting position on a sports team. You've begun to earn a degree. You've started a family. You've moved to a new town. You've been asked to do something you've never tried before. If you've ever attempted something where you could succeed wildly or fail miserably, then you understand how he's feeling. Solomon knew he needed real help. Everything had happened so quickly in his life. His father David had named him his successor instead of his brother Adonijah. Adonijah was the one everybody expected would be named the king. Adonijah had assumed that for himself. Adonijah had already taken steps to prepare himself for when David died and he could ascend to the throne. Everybody was looking to him, and he was entertaining all of those people that he thought would be the difference makers when he became the new king. And then God led David to step in, and he anointed Solomon instead of Adonijah to be the king. In fact, not only he had anointed him, he did it in front of everybody. It was so public that there was no chance for Solomon to say, I'm not sure I want this job. And then, before Solomon had a chance to be trained or prepared, David had died. And the crown was placed on his head. And Solomon knew, I've got to grow up fast. There are hard decisions to be made, and nobody can make them for him. The challenge and the burden was almost overwhelming for Solomon. No wonder he traveled from Jerusalem to Gibeon. Gibeon was the place where people went to seek the Lord in those days. Before there was a temple in Jerusalem, Gibeon was where God's people went when they needed to know that God was going to bless them, when they needed to offer the sacrifices that God deserved. That's where they would go. And when he arrived, he offered a massive sacrifice to the Lord. The Bible says Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings. Now, I want you to think a minute about what that means. One of the things that means is when Solomon got to Gibeon, he didn't go to spend the afternoon. You just don't offer 1,000 burnt offerings in a few hours. or a day or a week. It meant that Solomon and his people settled in there, and day after day after day, he sought the Lord and offered sacrifices and did his best to find some sense of leadership from God himself. What do you want me to do? And after days of intensively seeking the Lord, the Bible says, in the middle of the night, while he was asleep, the Lord appeared to him in a dream. God came to Solomon when he needed him the most. Just like he comes to you, and just like he comes to me, in those times when we know I need God's presence, I need God's guidance, I need God's wisdom, I need God's help, when we know we need this more than we need anything in the world, then he comes. God challenges you and he challenges me to seek him fearlessly, just the way Solomon did. Seek God's will. Seek God's guidance. Seek with confidence in God's time and in God's way. God's going to answer my prayer. And like Solomon, he will meet you where you need him the most. This is what we learn from the book of 1 Kings. You learn that the Lord will meet you at your point of need. The Bible says that God came to Solomon in the middle of the night. Solomon was there because he was almost overwhelmed by what he was facing. It was the first act that he had performed since becoming king. Before he made any decisions, before he gave any commands to his people, he made his way to Gibeon so he could seek the Lord. What does that tell us? That tells us one thing. Solomon's heart was right with God. Solomon's heart was searching for what the Lord wanted to do, and he knew, before I do anything, I need God's help. In those days when he was offering all of those sacrifices, it seemed as though the more he struggled, the bigger his problem became. But when God came, he came in the depths of the darkness. Here's the question I want to ask this morning. Why did he wait so long? Why did God wait so long to answer Solomon's prayers? Every day, sacrifices offered. Every day, prayers were going up. Every day, Solomon was seeking God. But God waited until the time was right to answer his prayers. Why didn't he reveal himself as soon as Solomon arrived? Why not speak while all of those sacrifices were being offered? This is what I believe. I believe God waited until Solomon had run out of his own answers. Because I think this is what was going on while Solomon was there in Gibeon. He was offering sacrifices and he was lifting up prayers, and then he was stepping aside and thinking, okay, what should I do? How should I act? Who should I command? Who do I trust? What kind of decisions do I make? And he was thinking through all of these things that were in front of him. And then the next day he would come back and would offer sacrifices and he would make prayers and he would begin to think again. What's the next thing to do? What's my first step as king? What should I do? And I think God waited. He let Solomon's solutions fall short. He allowed Solomon to reach the limit of his own strength. Solomon needed to reach the conviction that he was helpless without the Lord. So this is really what's going on. He's making sacrifices and he's offering prayers, and then he's thinking to himself, what should I do first? Who should I trust? How should I lead? What should I do? And every day he was reaching the same conclusion. You know what that conclusion was? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to lead. It never occurred to me that I was going to be in this position. I always assumed my brother was going to be the king. It never occurred to me until it happened that I was going to be the one that was anointed, and I was going to have to step in to this kingdom my father has built. I don't know what to do. And the next day, he offered sacrifices and he lifted up prayers and he came to the conclusion, I still don't know what to do. I still don't know what to do. He had to reach the point of realizing, I don't think I'm ever going to know what to do to lead these people. And when he finally reached the conclusion that I am helpless, then he was ready to hear what God had to say. God works that way all the time. He only steps in to help you when you're ready to confess your answers are not working. As long as you think you've got it together and you just tell the Lord and the Lord will do what you suggest, or you think, I'll make my plans and then I'll ask God to bless it after my plans are made. As long as that's what you're doing, you're not listening anyway. God only reveals himself to those who have reached a point of desperate need. Now, why is that? Because as long as you believe you have everything under control, trusting Christ is going to be a casual thing in your life. Oh, yeah, I trust him, but I really trust me. I depend upon him, but I can make my own plans. I can reach my own conclusions. And because of that, until you reach the point of saying, Lord, I've got to have help. I've got to have help. Your faith is going to remain casual. I'll just ask for a blessing after I'm done. But after all, I'm the one that's doing all the heavy lifting. I'll never forget years and years ago, there was a movie called Shenandoah. Y'all don't have to listen because you don't remember this movie. But it was a movie about a family and their life during the Civil War. Do you remember that? And what a hardship they had to go through because some of the sons were going to one side of the war and some were going to the other side of the war. And in the meantime, there was nobody at home to help keep the farm going. And the place was, and I'll never forget, the father in this thing was Jimmy Stewart. And Jimmy Stewart led a blessing one day. I'll never forget it. And he said, Lord, everything we have by our own hands. It's the sweat of our brows. We've gotten out on, and we have worked the land, and we have raised the crops, and we have done it all, and we've done it for ourselves. But we thank you anyway. Amen. What a prayer. What a prayer. And yet so many times, that's exactly how we live. Lord, I've come up with the plans. I've come up with the ideas. I'm the one's putting out the effort. I'm doing it all, but thank you anyway. He knows the time has to come when you run out of both answers and strength, and then you're ready to listen. Until you get to the point of desperate need, your faith will only be a shadow of what he has planned for you to experience. I think all of us at some point in our lives need to reach a point where we recognize we are up against a wall and we don't know how to get over it or around it or through it. And then we turn to the Lord. You have to reach that point where he's the only one who can help. And then you cry out and confess, I am helpless if you don't do something. The Lord asked Solomon a critical question. He said, ask, what shall I give you? The Lord challenged Solomon to ask clearly. There's no room for a vague response. When God Almighty says to you, ask, what shall I give you? You don't say things like, oh, I think I'd like to have a blessing. Oh, help me to do good things. Oh, be with me somehow. That's not what God is asking for. God wants to know, what do you want? What do you need more than anything? Ask, what shall I give you? What would you ask for? If the Lord confronted you this morning, Emily brought us to that point with the children. If the Lord asked you this morning, what do you want? Would you ask for something superficial? Would you ask for something that's passing by? Or would you ask God to meet you at your deepest point of need? Could it be God wants you to do exactly the same thing He told Solomon to do? Come to me at that point of deepest need and ask me. Ask me and trust me to step in and act in your life. The Lord was doing more than asking Solomon a question. He was also testing his character. Ask me, Solomon, what do you want from me? Now that you're the king, now that you rule your people, what do you want, Solomon? How would he answer? Would he answer selfishly? Would he reveal the heart of a leader? What's going to happen? Solomon, what do you want? Do you want something for yourself, or do you want something that's going to give you, empower you to lead your people? Sooner or later, we all reach that point. The Lord will allow you to come to a crisis point when what you ask next will make all the difference. And when those times come, you have to be ready to ask in faith. Now, God may not speak to you in a dream, but He'll bring you to a point where you have to decide how deep you are willing to go in your trust in Him. How deep are you willing to trust Him? Solomon answered the Lord's questions. Now, most people think what we heard just a few moments ago, that what Solomon asked for was wisdom. After all, how do we think of Solomon? We say, the wisest man who ever lived, the writer of the book of Proverbs, the one who shared his insight and his wisdom through the Word of God for all of eternity. But his request was not that simple. He prayed a prayer that asked the Lord to do what only the Lord could do. This is how he prayed. The first thing he prayed was this: I know what you did for my father. David had been a simple shepherd boy. He had been considered the least of Jesse's sons. If anybody was considered an unlikely ruler, it had been David. Yet the Lord had made him a king, and not just a king, but a man after God's own heart. A man who would transform a small kingdom into an empire. Solomon said to the Lord, I've watched what you did for my father. I saw what you did through him, how you touched his people, how you used him to be a wise and faithful ruler. I saw it all. Yeah, I saw his mistakes and I saw his failures. But I also saw how God worked through his life. You took a nobody and you made him into a somebody. I know what you did for my father. And then the second thing he said is this: and I know what you've done for me. Solomon knew he had not become king by right of succession. The important people overlooked him when they considered who would follow David. But the Lord had David anoint Solomon because he was God's chosen leader. Solomon knew this: I know I owe everything to the Lord. I owe everything to Him. Left in my own strength and left in my own wisdom and left in my own skill, I would have been a forgotten nobody. But you've made me a king. I know what you've done for me. And then he said this: this may be the key to Solomon's prayer. I know who I really am. Solomon had no illusions about his qualifications to lead. He knew the real person who was underneath the robe and the crown. And this is what he said to the Lord: I'm a little child. I am so young. I am so immature. I am so childlike. there's nothing about me that says I'm ready to take on this role. In fact, he confessed to the Lord, I don't know how to go out or to come in. I read that and I thought about when I was a child. Remember back when your house had a screen door and your mother would holler at you, decide whether you're going out or coming in. I thought about that. I got yelled at a lot about that. Solomon says to the Lord, I don't know how to do this. Solomon's response should remind us that all the strongest people are not the ones who are self-reliant. The strongest people are the ones who are Christ-reliant, who know how seriously they have to depend upon Him because He's the only one that can do it. Lord, if you leave me on my own, I'm lost. That's why Solomon revealed so much more than a prayer for wisdom. This is what he asked for. Give to me an understanding heart so that I can lead your people. He didn't ask for knowledge just for the sake of knowledge. He didn't ask to be wise so he would have a reputation for wisdom. He wanted to lead his people effectively. He wanted to help them fulfill God's great plan for them. And so he said, Lord, give me an understanding heart so I can lead. Because these are your people, Father. They need your guidance. They're just as helpless without you as I am. Show me what to do. Solomon prayed for God to use him to bless and guide others. And he wants us to do the same thing as we consider how to lead our families or how to share our faith or how to follow his will or how to do what he's called us to do. We simply need to say, God, I got to have your help. And the Lord abundantly answered Solomon's prayer. Listen to what he said. Because you have asked for this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor riches for yourself, nor the life of your enemies, I have given you a wise and understanding heart so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And then the Lord challenged Solomon, if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. In other words, he said, if you will stay close to me and listen to what I tell you, then I will do above and beyond anything you ask or imagine. And God still makes that same offer today. He will do amazing things if you trust Him, if you honor Him, if you depend upon Him in all your ways. I guess the question that I ask you that Solomon faced so long ago was simply this: are you really willing to trust Him in everything? No exceptions. Nothing held back. Are you willing to say to God, I know I can't do it without you. I'm just a child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. Will you help me? If you're willing to trust Him in everything, then you need to know that he's asking you the same question he asked Solomon so long ago. It truly is a power passage from the Old Testament. Ask, what shall I give you? What would you say next? That's where faith truly begins. Today there may be a really important question you need to ask, and that question is simply this: will you save me and give me eternal life? And he will say, if you trust Jesus with all of your heart, you'll be saved. Maybe that's what you need to ask today. Lord, will you save me? If you're here and you're not a Christian, there's no more important question that you could ask than simply that, answer you could offer than simply that: I want to be saved. And if you do, in a minute when we stand and sing our invitation hymn, if you'll come here to the front, I'll help introduce you to Jesus. And he will change your life for all of eternity. Maybe he says to you, ask, what shall I do for you? And there's something very specific on your mind and on your heart this morning. And you need his answer, and you need his strength, and you need his wisdom, and you need his guidance. And maybe you need to come and simply say, would you pray with me? Because I got a question that I really need to have answered by the Lord. What would you say next? We're going to stand, we're going to sing our hymn of invitation. As God speaks to your heart, you come. Let's stand together.